There will be a meeting of the board immediately after the service, announced the pastor from the pulpit. And after the close of the service, the church board gathered at the back of the auditorium for the announced meeting. But there was a stranger in their midst, a visitor who had never attended the church before. The pastor went up to him and said, "Excuse me, my friend, didn't you understand that this is a meeting of the board?" And the visitor said, "Oh yeah, I understand. After today's worship service, I suppose I'm just about as bored as anyone else who came to this meeting." Bored in church? Really? That's not a good way to start the service, is it? When I was a kid, I'll admit, I was bored in service. I was a clock watcher. I didn't necessarily want to be there, but my parents drugged me there, and I was generally bored. Let me ask you this. What about our worship? How do we give it to God? An aunt and a niece were walking around after church, and the aunt says, "And you were a good little girl during worship service this morning, Sally?" Little Sally looked up at her aunt innocently and she said, "Oh yes, Auntie, I was. In fact, a nice man came by and offered me this big plate full of money, but I said, 'No thank you, sir.'" That's what you do. By the way, we should probably avoid the kids when we're doing offering. What about our worship? What about it? Have we ever thought about it before we actually offered it? For many, going to church is all about just that, going to the church. But it's not being concerned, in many cases, with our worship of God while we're in the church. I want to look at our sermon text for today. It comes from John 4, 21 through 24. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. We're reading from the New International Version, which is a good version. We're going to be reading from it. I want to preview this. This is about Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. The Samaritans and Jews really didn't care for each other, but this was Jesus we're talking about. He cared and loved for everyone, and so we can see his concern for this woman in this account. Listen to what he says. "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and the worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Now, this is an interesting passage. And it's so because we have to ask ourselves, and maybe we've thought to ourselves, I'm guessing we probably haven't, "I want to be a true worshiper." Have you ever walked into the church and said, today, "I want to be a true worshiper"? I'm guessing most of you have never thought about it. In many cases in Scripture, we just don't read particular or specific items in Scripture. This is one of those that causes a lot of confusion and consternation, but it's extremely important with how we discuss it today and how we understand it today. You see, our Heavenly Father wants and seeks true worshipers. In our worship, and we might even admit this, we might say that, you know, at times we come in and we're pretty casual. Some people might say, "I'm uncomfortable." Others might say, "You know what, I've been in church before. I've been there where I'm cynical or spiteful or hateful." In any of these cases, we know what it looks like. See, a lot of people will come into the church. I mean, I'm sure I did as a kid. I told you I was bored when I came into church service. But a lot of people will come into the service, and they'll kind of look like this. And again, I'm not generalizing. I'm just saying this is the way some people look at times. They will sit like this. They look like that the world is about to end, and the whole time, the only thing they care about is that wooden clock on the wall. And they're asking themselves, why is it not moving faster? Why are those hands slowly creeping along? So it is a relationship that they have with their watch and that clock. A lot of people will look like they're being dipped in hot acid when they sit in a worship service. And again, you say, "That's not me. I've seen you. I get to see you. I watch you." And sometimes you're like that. I was like that. When I was a kid, I know that pastor had to be thinking, "What are you doing? Why don't you want to be here? Where do you want to be? You want to be out there?" And for me as a kid, it was difficult because I knew in many cases I was bored in the church. Pastor Joseph Byrd, in his manuscript on New Testament worship, states that, quote, "When we gather together to worship, our words are heard not only by those nearest and then forgotten." No, there's another dimension to our acts of worship. We are joining with creation and worshiping God in the Spirit of truth, end quote. Now, Jesus referred to it. Joseph Byrd reiterates it. But what is this worship in the Spirit? What does it mean? I mean, it can get confusing. So look at verse 24 again. It says, God is Spirit, and his worshipers, here's your key word, must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Now first, we must note that the second word Spirit is capitalized. This refers to God's Holy Spirit. So we can answer any questions that we have there. Now what's interesting is in this passage, the other word Spirit is not capitalized. It's a lowercase s. So we can differentiate between the Holy Spirit and the other usage of that word Spirit. This should give us hope. What it means is there's more than one Spirit. There is the Holy Spirit, but then there's our Spirit. Our Spirit. We all have it, right? Now here's something else we have to know. God is a Spirit. Now that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. It just does. I mean, when you start talking about Spirit now, it's like, oh man, where's this guy going? I mean, we're going to talk about spirits in church? Really? See, a lot of people have this unusual association with God looking like Charlton Heston or the most interesting man in the world. You know, it's kind of what we look at. We're thinking, when I see God, it's going to be, I know it's going to be the guy in those commercials. I know it. It's going to look just like that. God is Spirit. We don't understand Spirit. God, for us, God is Spirit, but we don't understand it. We understand flesh. I do comps all the time. I'm like, hey, man, you look exactly like this person. Hey, you look exactly like this person. That's how we associate things in our lives because flesh is tangible, touchable, physical. We get that. But Spirit is difficult. It's hard to understand. Now, here's something else. We have a Spirit. We do. You have a Spirit. I have a Spirit. We have a Spirit. It's inside of our flesh. It's inside of us. Our Spirit makes up our intelligence, our intellect, our passion, our emotion, our love, and our fear. Cheerleaders have Spirit. We have Spirit. Yes, we do. We have Spirit. What about you? And you can say, yes, I do. Now you know. If you leave with anything else today, you'll say, yep, I got a Spirit. Because cheerleaders have told me that. See, cheerleaders have an incredible importance to the sports world. I know some will say, no, they don't. And I'm going to say, yes, they do. Because their goal is to rile up in you, drive up in you, create a desire in you to show your Spirit. That's what they want you to do. They want you to scream and yell and clap and cheer. They want you to do what you're supposed to do in those arenas. So cheerleaders understand the word Spirit. Our Spirit, lowercase s, is unique and distinct and separate from God's Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit, capital S. Whenever you see Spirit, capital S, in the Bible, that is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Our Spirit inside of us defines us. God's Spirit, John 14, 26, aligns perfectly with Jesus. In Genesis 2, verse 7, we find that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Now, in this passage, the words Spirit and breath carry Hebrew and Greek origin that means blast or inspiration. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit, lowercase s, save the spirit of man which is in him. Since the fall of man, Genesis 3, verse 6, our spirits have been corrupted. And as Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 2, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that is Satan, is the spirit, lowercase s, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So how do we avoid that? And how do we overcome that? And how do we avoid and overcome that corruption? You see, our spirits are a mess, folks. They are. Our entire intellect, our being, is corrupted based on what happened with Adam and Eve. And so when we look at our spirits, we say, man, I need to change my spirit. My spirit needs an overhaul. Something's got to give with this spirit. And only God can do it. Our spirits, we have issues with our spirits. It can only be done, if we're going to do this, if we're going to overcome our spirits, it can only be done by God. That's the only way it can happen. It can only be done by God through Jesus, by the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, this is interesting. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, overcomes and overtakes our spirit. That's his goal. That's what God wants for all of us. You see, he looks at us and he says, your spirit's a mess. It just is. You know, Adam and Eve did something about this. They committed sin. They corrupted our spirits. And so we come into this church, and as Brenda Baker, my beloved Brenda, says, we're all misfits. We are. And our spirits are messed up. But we can only overcome this with God. We need God to fill us and indwell us and lead us by his Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8:10 that the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. John said in 1 John 4:13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us, get ready, he has given us his Spirit, capital S. Paul said in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself, capital S, testifies with our spirit, lowercase s, that we are God's children. We have spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, things change a lot. You see, true worshipers are saved and changed by the Holy Spirit. This is how we begin to worship in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this, God has put his brand upon us, his mark of ownership, and has given us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as guarantee that we belong to him and as the first installment of all that he's going to give us. Now, we need to pause with regards to this. First installment. You see, what we know is that when we give our lives to Christ, when we believe in Jesus, love Jesus, live for Jesus, that we are indwelt and then filled by the Holy Spirit. That's the first installment. There's more to come. Let me give you an example of this. When I was growing up, there was this is, if you're young in here, obviously you'll probably not understand what I'm talking about. If you're in your 40s and 50s, you're so going to get this. When we were growing up, I'll never forget, my mom and dad went out, I don't know why they chose to do this, but we were grateful for this. They went out and bought the first ever game system that I think ever existed in the world, and it was called, four letters, Pong. Pong. Remember Pong? I guess it was probably named after the guy, probably the guy who devised it was named Pong, I'm guessing. Pong was the lamest thing you ever seen in your life. But at the time, we thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was two paddles and a game system with a ball and lines. That's it. And you just sit there all day and you just hit balls back and forth with lines. And we thought it was the coolest thing ever. And then we graduated. I remember when it finally came time. It was on the market. I remember we asked for it. We got it for Christmas. And it was the Atari 2600. That was big time, baby. We were in the big time. Joysticks and buttons. But I'm going to tell you something about the Atari 2600. It was great, but it was useless unless you had a game cartridge. They called them cartridges back then, by the way. Cartridges. So unless you had a game cartridge, the Atari 2600 did nothing. Nothing. It just sat there and collected dust. This is my point that I make with regards to God's first installment. I remember when we got the Atari 2600. I think it came with two games. We blew those games up. That's all we ever played. But we needed more installments. We needed more gifts. And so every time, Christmas, birthday, we would beg my mom and dad, we'd go through and we'd say, listen, this is what we want. These are the games we want. And those were always future installments. And we would always get excited. They would always be better than the last game we got because they're always improving. And that was important to us. Folks, this is the same way that God works with the Holy Spirit. He says, listen, if you believe in my son, you love my son, live for my son, I'm going to give you the first installment. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. It's going to be amazing. But it's going to get better. You see, once you're indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you so much more you ever knew about. I mean, I'm going to give you things you never even knew about or understood or cared about. And it's going to be amazing. Now, that should make us say, well, I want to thank you for that, God. And I want to worship you for that, God. And I want to give you everything that you deserve because you give so much to me, God. You see, this is a major, major theme of our sermon today. Is that God gives us more than we can ever imagine. The question is, what do we give God? What does our worship look like? What does our thanksgiving and praise look like? And is he pleased with what we give him? When the Holy Spirit is in our heart, we worship in spirit, capital S, with the Holy Spirit from our hearts. If you're a believer today, this is critical. If you're a believer, if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I love Jesus Christ, I live for Jesus Christ, I can tell you this, you are indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. Congratulations. There's your first installment. The question is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? So when you walk through the doors of the church, whether it's this church or any other church, if you're a visitor and you say, we go to another church, that's fine. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Let me give you an example of this, because I think this would be a cruel and unusual joke. I'm hoping nobody ever plays this on me. It would be a prank that I would have to forgive you, but I would not like you for a while. All right? So I'm just going to tell you, and I hope nobody ever does this. If anybody ever attempts to buy a ticket for me to a Dierks Bentley concert, all right, I'm being serious. I don't ever want you to think about it. I don't want you to even talk. I don't like country music, folks. I don't know anything about country music. I was literally trying to use this as reference, thinking, who do I know that's a country singer? It's like, I know Dierks Bentley, only because I saw a TV commercial. If you love country music, I love you for it. I'm happy that you love it. Don't be mad at me. Don't be upset, because I know you probably don't like my music either. It's all good. It's all good. But if you try to drag me to a Dierks Bentley concert, it ain't going to be good. All right? I'll sit with you. I will sit with you. I'm going to be upset with you. I will. And I'll go, but I'll be upset with you. I will sit with you. And we'll sit in the theater, the auditorium, and you're going to be yelling and screaming and singing and cheering, and you'll have your cell phone lighter up, and you'll be doing all those great things that you do at a concert. I can guarantee you I will be sitting here like this. And I will be looking at my watch, and I will be finding a clock, and I will be begging to get out of that auditorium as fast as I can. It's just, I'm sorry. I know some people right now are like, I'm never coming back to that church. He doesn't like Dierks Bentley. It's okay. That's all. You probably don't like my music. So that's my point. But country music is not in my heart. It's just not. I've tried. I'll thumb through the stations, and then the girls will hear, in my pickup truck with my banjo. And I'm like, and the girls are back there like, Dad, listen to what he said. And we're just always laughing. All right. I don't have any foreign friends. I don't. I just don't. I don't think I do. And so with that said, but you know, soccer's big in foreign countries. It's huge. I mean, it's like one of the biggest things. You know, it would kind of be the same way if a foreign friend came to me and said, hey, you've got to go with me. I'm going to fly you overseas. I've got tickets. It's a 100,000-seat auditorium. You're going to have to go in, and you're going to have to watch a soccer game in my foreign land. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to want to go. I don't really want to leave the continental United States. I'm not all about that. And frankly, I don't understand soccer. I don't like soccer. I don't want to watch soccer. And so if you take me to a soccer game while everybody else is yelling and clapping and cheering and screaming, I'm going to be sitting here like this. And I'll be looking at the clock and looking at the watch. I mean, it's just, that's it. Soccer is not in my heart. Now, with that said, this is how a lot of people approach worship. This is kind of how they do it. Like, some people come in and say, all right, if I got to go, I can't believe you're making me go. This is how we used to be as kids. I can't believe you're making me go. But yeah, I'll go. And we just, oh, my, the poor pastor, we just stand or sit and stare at that clock that never moved. Just move! Never moved. Is that how we approach worship? I mean, really, is that how we approach worship? Folks, you go to concerts and sporting events, right? I go to concerts. We love concerts. I love it. I love seeing my music. And we go, and I sing and scream and clap and cheer and yell. I hug my kids, hug my wife. I'm like, did you hear him do that with the guitar? It was amazing. And then there are some people in the concert are sitting like this. And we know that they're just not into it, right? And that's normal. Go to a sporting event, you know, we scream, we clap, we cheer, we yell. We're looking at going to a Cubs game this year for vacation, and we'll scream and clap and cheer and shout. But there's some people that just won't. That's okay. They're just not into it. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is in your heart, and you're indwelt with him, and you're filled by him, shouldn't we be into it? I mean, when we walk through the doors of the church, shouldn't this be like a concert? Shouldn't this be as impactful as a game? Shouldn't we have this passion and power and desire to give God our best? Instead of sitting here like this, watching the clock, I think we should. How do we worship? You see, unbelievers and sometimes maybe not even regular attenders that come to the church, they worship different. I'm not judging, I'm not. I mean, worship the way you want. I'm not gonna be like, you need to stand up, put your hands in the air, and yell amen 8 times, or you're not invited back here. That's not it. But unbelievers worship a little bit differently, right? They kind of come in, they're like, I don't know about this place. That guy's nuts. He's wearing Under Armour. Why is he wearing Under Armour? We used to go to church as a family, and my dad, it was my dad and my brother, because they always sat together, and then my mom, or then me and then my mom. We'd always sit in the front row, pretty much right in there, and man, it was rough. It was rough. And let me tell you why it was rough. My mom is she's a devout believer. And so during worship service, I've shared this story before, but during worship service, when we would stand up, in the rare occasions that we'd sing How Great Thou Art or Amazing Grace, those were the two songs, those were the magic songs. If those songs were sung, get ready. My mom would stand up. She never needed the hymnal. Didn't even use it. She would stand up. Her eyes would be closed. And she would start belting out vocals. Then sings my soul. And it sounded like a sick coyote. It really did. It was terrible. And my my brother and I would sit right next to her, and while my mom's eyes were closed and she was worshiping in the spirit and in truth, my brother and I were like, get a load of mom. We'd just be like, what? And my mom being such a good woman, would turn around. She'd come out of that zone for a moment, look down, and just give us this approving smile, like, really? I mean, you should want to beat us right now. I mean, we're ripping you. We're making fun of you. But it didn't dissuade my mom from singing some of the worst vocals I have ever heard in my life. And the people would laugh and laugh. We worship differently. We worship differently. But we've got to worship in the truth. We've got to worship spiritually. That's what God calls us to do. John Piper once said this. He says, true worship comes only from spirits made alive and sensitive by the quickening of the Spirit of God. In Philippians 3:3, Paul says, for it isn't the cutting of our bodies, that's a circumcision reference, for it isn't the cutting of our bodies that makes us children of God, it is worshiping Him with our spirits, lowercase s. If our spirit has been changed by the Holy Spirit, folks, this only applies if you're a believer. If you're a believer, if you live, love, follow Jesus, this applies to you. If our spirit has been changed by the Holy Spirit, then our worship should come from Hebrews 10:22, true hearts. Are our hearts in this sanctuary today, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit, and compelled by the Holy Spirit to worship in the Spirit? Now, I know what you might be thinking. You're making me uncomfortable. You're telling me how I have to worship. No, I'm not. God's telling you how you have to worship. I'm just telling you what God's telling you. And when I was younger, I didn't know anything about what God was trying to tell me. I didn't even think about it. I just wanted to go and make fun of my mom when she sung. That's all we did. This is a strong message today, because when it gets into our wheelhouse, when we have to decipher what Scripture means regarding worship, we have to really start to think about it. And we ask ourselves as we say, wait a second, am I worshiping the way God wants me to worship? He says must, which is important. What kind of worship is coming from our hearts today? Rene Pichet once said that the highest form of service is worship. Now, why might our worship not be the highest or the loudest or the sincerest or the deepest or our best? Why not? It has to do with something called flesh. We all have it. I mean, we all have it. We identify it as skin, right? We say, oh, we got skin. And we understand skin. I used to treat my face with Noxzema. I understood my face. We understand skin. We understand our blemishes and our little skin cancers and those spots that come on and our freckles and our moles. And we get skin. If there's anything we know skin. But we don't really sometimes understand flesh. You see, flesh is a lot different than skin. The biblical idea or reference to flesh is something far different than our physical reference to skin. Skin's easy to understand. We wash it. We scrub it. We take care of it. But the flesh, now that's a little harder to understand. You see, the flesh becomes problematic for us. The opposite of spirit is flesh. Jesus said in John 6:63, he says, the spirit, capital S, gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Folks, our flesh is carnal. It's sinful. And it causes us to stumble and fall. This we know. Man's flesh is in opposition with God's Spirit. It just is. Paul used these words in Philippians 3:3. He says, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Galatians 5:16-17. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, capital S, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. Now, sadly, we understand flesh more than spirit, because I'm assuming that in all the years that you've attended the Covell Community Church, we don't talk about this much. And so I'm guessing you're saying, wait a second, he's talking about spirit? This just makes me uncomfortable. I mean, I get the flesh part, but the spirit part, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't understand it. We understand flesh. It's tangible. It's physical. We touch it, we see it, we understand it. But when you talk about spirit, now that's different altogether. You see, the spirit is the internal. The flesh, that's the external. And when it comes to worship, sadly, the external oftentimes wins. In Colossians 3:5, Paul says, don't worship the good things of life. And yet we do it. We're moved by it. We take notice of it. So in many cases, and no, nobody would ever admit it, I'm not going to make you hold your hand up. Don't do that. But in many cases, we come into the church. Someone says, what are you doing on Sunday? I'm going to church. Really, what are you going to do there? What do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to church. What are you going to do in the church? I'm going. I mean, isn't that enough? I'm going. Just go to church. It's what we do. But what do you do in the church? I think this could go on forever. But do we worship in the church? And do we worship in the Spirit? You see, if we worship in the flesh, we're going to notice the flesh. That's what we do. A lot of people come to the church and be like, oh, I can't believe what she's wearing. It's so bad. It doesn't match. Yeah, did you see the new car they're driving? I can't believe it. And so we start talking about the building, the people in the building, what the people are wearing in the building, how the people are talking in the building, the music's being played in the building, what the people are doing in the building. Because we get it. We understand it. Right? This thing we get. But when you start talking about worshiping in the Spirit, people are like, I don't get it. What are you talking about? Worshiping in the Spirit? I just thought we'd go to church to be in the church. But what if I said that God says it's a must that we are called to worship in the Spirit and in truth? What if I told you that God doesn't care if you worship in this building or out in a tent? In fact, what if I told you that God cares about your heart and what's inside of you, not what's outside of this and outside of us? You see, God's watching, God's looking, God's seeing, God's listening. God's concerned about our worship. He says you must worship in the Spirit and the truth. We pastors are not good about talking about this. We're just happy to see you. Welcome to church. Make yourself comfortable in the church. Look, we have more cracks in the church. I'm wearing Under Armour in the church. Man, but when the pastor starts talking about Spirit, that makes me uncomfortable. Eesh. Is he going to tell me how to worship next? I have to raise my hands and say amen, you know. But the flesh is physical. It's not spiritual. It's just not. Now, there are some people, coincidentally, you'll meet some people. Get ready, you'll meet some people. You'll probably work with people or talk to people. Maybe you'll live with people. I hope not. Where you'll go, you'll say this. You'll say, where do you go to church? And they'll say, I don't, but I'm spiritual. You ever meet people like that? It's scary, isn't it? It's scary. And they and the spiritual typically worship the physical. You know, they'll be like, I don't need to go to church. I have many gods. I believe in a higher power. We go out in the woods and worship trees, and we believe God has done everything and touched everything. Like, whoa. All right, that's not real. That's not true. That's not spiritual. You can have your own worship time, and that ain't real. That ain't true. That ain't spiritual. I know people that are spiritual. They claim they're spiritual. By the way, that would be what's called lowercase s. Lowercase s. Their worship is not true. It's not real. Are our hearts plugged into the Holy Spirit? Are our hearts plugged into God's desire for our worship? Do we understand what it means? All right, we've talked about Spirit. Let's talk about truth. What about worshiping in truth? This one's easier. This one's easier. We get this. You probably know where this one's going. Let's look at 23 and 24 again. Jesus says the time is coming, and it's now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Isaiah 65:16. God is truth. That's easy. John 14:6. Remember what Jesus says? I am the truth. John 17:17. God's word is truth. John 16:13. God's Spirit is truth. And we, going on with this passage, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's what the Spirit does. He leads us to truth. He shows us the truth. He teaches us about the truth. This is great. Now, I'm a guy, I'm going to tell you right now, if you come to the Covell Community Church, many of you might say, after that sermon, I'm not coming back to the Covell Community Church. That guy's a whack job. But if you come back, I'm going to tell you this. I've been here a long time. You're never going to get flesh, and you're not going to get fluff. You're just not. I like fluff. I do. I'm a movie fanatic. I love them, and I love fluffy movies. I like love stories. I love action movies. I love when the bad guy gets his. I love it. It's fluff. I like a little diversion. I like 2 hours of away from everything to see how Stallone takes care of those people that are wronging him. I like it. But not here. You know, there's no fluff here. I'm not going to give you fluff. I'm not going to give you anything but the truth. And as far as the flesh goes, I just think we need to be concerned about being in the Spirit. When we worship in the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, he exposes and illumines the truth. He shows us the truth. In essence, we crave his word. We crave it. We love his word. We covet it. We want it. And we long to live by His word, which is our truth. As a matter of fact, when you're worshiping in the truth and you come to a worship service where it's centered on the truth, you sit there and you say, I like how that sounded. I like what that meant. I need to plug into that. I need to learn about that. I need to apply that. That's what the truth does to us. It literally cuts us to the bone. That's what the truth does. I'm not going to give you fluff. I'm just not. Now, if you want to talk movies afterwards, I'll talk movies all day. But when we're worshiping, man, it's all about the truth. Tony Evans says this. He says, if some of those folks who went to Jonestown, Guyana, had asked for the truth, they'd be alive today. If somebody had asked Jim Jones about his lifestyle, his promiscuity, for instance, and asked him to validate his teachings and lifestyle with the Book of Truth, people would have seen him as a false teacher. They would have known the truth and wouldn't have willingly taken cyanide and died. No one stopped to ask, is this the truth? Now, we're accountable to the truth. So when we worship in the truth, we're accountable to the truth. Let me give you an example of that. I have accountability partners. I live with them. I work with them. I worship with them. I have accountability partners, people that I talk to. And here's what I will tell them, and I'm very serious about this. If there's anything that you ever hear, anything that doesn't align, anything that's confusing, anything that might not seem like the truth, you need to approach me about it. You need to talk to me about it. I mean, Paul does this very thing, and I'm accountable to Scripture, and so I ask for the very thing. I work with a guy, a devout believer. I love him. He listens to the sermons online. He'll get a kick out of this because I'm referencing him right now. He'll smile when he hears this. One of the most devout believers I've ever met. I love this man. I sometimes think, oh, Jesus is working at the funeral home. Interesting. I love him. And the neat thing about this is that he and I get to talk about Scripture a lot and about the truth. It's a blessing. I love every moment that we get to talk about it. But one day, just recently, I went up to him and I said, name? I said, listen, you listen to these sermons online? Oh, yeah. I said, listen, if you ever hear anything that you don't understand, that's confusing, that you think might even be misleading, you got to stop me and approach me. Because I said, I am accountable to this truth. I'm accountable to God, and I'm accountable to the people. And I have to make sure that I disseminate the truth. Now, when we worship in the Spirit and the truth, it changes everything. See, the ball game gets changed. Everything looks different. Everything feels different. Tony Evans was right. Let me ask you this. What's the opposite of truth? What is the opposite of truth? Some might say, it's fluff. Okay. It's lies, falsehoods, deceit. That's what the opposite of truth is. And so when anybody says, I'm spiritual, let me tell you how I worship. I'm going to say, I don't care how you worship. If you worship in the Spirit and the truth, we got to talk. If you don't worship in the Spirit and truth, no need to talk. We have to worship in this way. Now, our worship must be centered on the worth of God's truth. Do you value it? Do you love it? Do you long for it? Sadly, it not always is that way. For in many cases, we look to worship in the flesh. It's true. We want to be entertained. How dare he not crack a joke in a sermon? I never laughed once. Bad sermon. I give him a 3. I'm not coming back. That's how we do it, right? We judge. That's how we do it. I mean, we're the worst movie raters in the world. Every single movie, I drive my friends crazy. They're like, hey, what'd you think of that movie? 6.21. I'm like, really? Do you have to put the 0.21 on it? Yeah, I do. Let me tell you why I didn't like this movie. This is the reason why I didn't like this movie. That's how we do everything, right? How was the meal? 8.9. Could have been better. Service was terrible. This is how sometimes we come into worship, right? We're like this. He stumbled. The song didn't start on time. You know, my bulletin wasn't folded right. You know, the church was whistling. And this is how we look at it. And that this is, which happens a lot, by the way. Happens a lot. Worship in the flesh is not the kind of worship God wants. E.C. Blackman once said this. He says, truth is regarded as what God demands of man. He desires it in the inward parts. Man must speak it and seek it and walk in it. Insofar as men see the truth in Jesus, they will both worship and live acceptably to God, but such worship and conduct are not possible apart from Jesus. What about our worship? How would God, who knows our hearts, describe it? Are we filled by the Holy Spirit who leads our worship and shows us His truth? David Mathis once said this. He says, worship must be vital and real in the heart, and worship must rest on a true perception of God. There must be spirit, and there must be truth. Truth without emotion produces dead orthodoxy and a church full or half full of artificial admirers. On the other hand, says Mathis, Emotion without truth produces empty frenzy and cultivates shallow people who refuse the discipline of rigorous thought. But true worship, comes from people who are deeply emotional and who love deep and sound doctrine. Strong affections for God rooted in truth are the bone and marrow of biblical worship. Does this describe us? What would happen if we were given an appearance today by Jesus? What would he say if he walked in and said, 3.81, you could do better. You could sound better. You could pray better. You could read better. You could worship me better. You could sing louder. You could give me the best, because I don't think you're giving me the best, but you have the potential to give me your best. So when we walk through the doors of any church, specifically today you're in the Covell Community Church, what do we give God? Do we just say, God, I made it to church. It was a good day. I don't even know what he was talking about. I really don't care, but I was there. And if my coworkers ask me, I can tell them I was there, because it made me feel good when I was there. Folks, I'm going to tell you, my goal is not to not make you feel good. I'm serious about this. I really am. I love when you feel good. I love when you're smiling and happy. But I'm not going to give you information and sermons and scripture and prayer that's going to make you all the time feel good. I'm just being honest and serious here. It's the truth. You see, sometimes God's word is difficult, challenging, makes us think, makes us wonder, are we doing what God wants us to do? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves that. See, it's not about how good we feel. That's not it at all. That's not what worship's all about. But a lot of people are under the guise and under the understanding that that's what it's about. As long as you entertain me, and as long as you make me feel good for that hour, we've had a good hour. Well, I'm telling you, that's not what this is about. You see, what we need to look at and what it's about is this. Did I come into this church today? This is about you and God. It's not about me. I'm not looking. Did I come into this church today and God, did I give you my best? Did I worship you in spirit? Did I long for the truth? God is with us every single second of every single day. We're here with him for an hour. Do we give him our best? Yeah, I've gone to ball games and concerts and been very excited. Remember the first time I ever saw my favorite band? I'm a Night Ranger fan. I'm sorry if you think you're nuts. It's okay. You can find Dierks Bentley, Night Ranger. There you go. I remember the first time I went to my Night Ranger concert. Never forget it. She had a concussion. I was shaking. I was like, they're singing this song. It's so exciting. I was singing and dancing and screaming and yelling, and it was great. And I think about that. I'm like, I look like a lunatic. What do we do in worship? I'm not saying you have to run down the aisles. Don't have to put your hands up. Don't say, amen. You don't have to do that. If you do it, it might be weird anyway. I don't know, but you can. What I am saying is this. What's coming out of your heart? What's coming out of your heart? I mean, when you walk through the doors of this church, what does God see and hear and feel from your heart? If God wants true worshipers, shouldn't he get this from us? Where are our hearts and our heads today when we gather and worship Jesus? What would God say about our worship today with regards to Jesus? You see, the greatest worship will come when everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. I was with Bev Campbell. Bev passed last night, and I was with her during her final days. And I went in and prayed with her and talked to her, read scripture with her. And I told her, I said, Bev, and she was somewhat coherent. And I said, Bev, you have no idea what awaits you. We can't even imagine. I said, it's going to be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And I said, don't prolong it. Just welcome it. You're going to see worship like you've never seen. You're going to understand the presence of God, and you're going to understand his glory like we've never known. Don't fight it. Welcome it. And I heard this morning, Sean came in and told me that she had passed. We confirmed her faith in the hospital. You see, right now, I know that while we're down here trying to figure out, what's he talking about? Spirit and truth. She's up there worshiping in spirit and truth. This is what we have to look forward to. My question is this, what are we going to do until we get there? What will we do here until we get there? Will we worship in spirit and truth? The greatest worship will come when everyone's filled with the Spirit. Revelation 4:10, 15, 2 through 4 shows us this. Scenes in heaven where the worship will be so spiritual, capital S, and truthful and real. Our worship must be the same way down here. Do you know the truth? Are you filled with God's Spirit? If you're a believer, you're filled with God's Spirit. You're indwelt by God's Spirit. Our worship and our lives and our well-being depend on it. You see, God says this is not negotiable. God says this is a must. So are we willing today in our worship to give Him our best? That's the question. Let's sing a song. A song that's been very popular on the contemporary Christian charts. This is Third Day, Soul on Fire. All right, well, there you go. Soul on Fire. Boy, and we got to tell you, first of all, I got to make a comment. Robin, we were singing a song. Robin's like, this sounds like country. And I said, normally I switch the radio when this is on. So just saying it. But my daughters love it. They love this song. And so I had to go back there and stand with them. They were like, Dad, we're singing Soul on Fire today. I'm like, uh-huh, great. But it was good. It was good. I'm all right. It was a little twangy. That's okay. All right. So, but again, this is just, I don't know if you saw it back there, but the girls were excited. They were dancing. They were pretty good. Not me. But this is that spirit and that truth. This is what worship looks like. And we're happy and we're excited. And some people say, I can't believe you ran in the church. Folks, this is what we do. We just get excited about being in the church. Are we worshiping in spirit and are we worshiping in truth? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Your word is perfect, it's sovereign, it's what we are supposed to follow. And I pray that when we worship You, we'll long for that truth. Your Holy Spirit changes us. It makes us different, makes us feel different, makes us look different. And I pray that we will worship You in the Spirit. And help us to marry these two concepts. When we walk through the doors of this church, help us to not be concerned about the building, the people in the building. But I pray that we will be concerned about the God who built this building. And our Lord and Savior, who saves every single person in this building when we believe and trust in Him. I pray today that this would be a lesson for all of us to love and follow Jesus, but also to worship You in the way that You've called us to worship You. Thank You for this day. Go with us, keep us safe, and help us in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.